My apologies for starting the recording of the sermon a bit late, but most of the sermon is included. Guest pastor Robert McCracken read from Psalm 25 and then began speaking in terms of people wishing you a happy new year and the question of what does it mean to have a happy new year. And he looked at it from Psalm 25, and he would look at four attitudes and then a couple of promises that we see in Psalm 25. And so he began to talking about the attitudes, and the first one was trust and confidence in God that is found in verse 1, and we'll pick it up as he begins to make the point that one of the attitudes that makes for a happy new year is to be trusting and confident in God.
Relationship with the trusted, you are my God, and therefore I trust in you, and I really do depend upon you to guide my steps and to carry on. Verse 5 says the same thing. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. It's a personal relationship. It's not this vague kind of, and I know there's a power out there somehow, and maybe this power, you know, will make everything work out. No, it's a personal relationship that I've now discovered with this God who is my Creator, the Creator of all things, and I found it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know Him now, and I can address Him as my Father, my God, in whom I put my trust, and so on. Not only does this God declare to us that He's in control of all things, and that includes everything that will happen this next year, but He also says to His own children, those who have a relationship now with Him, He says to me in that relationship, I will make everything that happens to you for your ultimate good. And of course, immediately the verse that comes to mind is Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. That same idea is in this psalm. Look at verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. All of them. Every possible event that could happen to you or happen to me, if you belong to the Lord and are walking with Him hand in hand, He says those things will be good, ultimately good. Doesn't mean that we won't have some hard experiences or some hard things to face, but somehow God will work all of those hard things. We were talking about that in our class this morning, how those tests build in us the kind of qualities that God wants to see within us. And so as I enter this new year, as I begin to look at a future that I don't really know what it will be, I have this trust and confidence in God that He superintends my life and He will make these things work for good. That gives me an enormous sense of peace. An enormous sense of confidence. And he talks here about hope. So he calls us to trust Him. Trust Him. That's the key here. And that's a life-controlling attitude. That's positioning myself to take or experience whatever's going to happen tomorrow. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But that's strength. That's a place of strength. The second attitude that I see in the psalm is submission and teachableness. An attitude of submission and teachableness. Now here again, this is a key to having peace and happiness in the year to come. If I want to be happy, I will be submissive to this God who will direct me if I ask Him to, if I'm open to that. See that in verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. People that get into trouble
almost always get into trouble because they don't do it God's way. Now just check yourself on this. I mean, think about the people you know that are going through hard things and maybe messing up their lives in different ways. The problem is that they won't do it God's way. They're not submissive to the will of God. They're not teachable. They say, no, I've got my own idea here. I'm going to do it my own way. Some people almost brag about that. They're so full of themselves that they simply say, I'm going to do it my way. Does that bring a song to mind? A Frank Sinatra song? I did it my way. Is that not different from verse 4? Show me your ways, O Lord. This is the difference. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I think I'm going to do here. Or I'm going to submit myself to God's way and follow what He would show me and teach me. That's an attitude that I must take. I position myself now before God and I say, Lord, You teach me. You direct me. You help me to know what's right and what's wrong. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this proud attitude, I'm going to do it my way, that just cancels this blessing of God that's there. Look at verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. If you'll be submissive, if you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will raise you up at the proper time. He says that in His Word. So as we submit ourselves, now, again, let me say that we're not promised an easy road. If I submit myself to God's way, it doesn't mean that I won't have any trouble at all. Now, later in the psalm, maybe you notice that the psalmist begins to speak about some afflictions. He speaks about being lonely. He speaks about enemies who are attacking him and so on. Life doesn't necessarily, for the Christian, just flow easily down the road. But rather, we live in a corrupted world, and this corrupted world is going to attack the position of the Christian, obviously, in many ways. And we're not exempt from some of the problems that the world is suffering today because of the sinfulness of the world. We're caught up with that, and we have to endure that. But what I'm saying is that if you have a teachable and submissive spirit to God, you will respond to those events or those situations differently than you would if you're just doing it your own way. So to know and trust that God will bring good things to me, and I approach every day with that. I wake up in the morning and I say, this is going to be a good day because God is directing my life today. That is my response to the events of the world before me. And that's the attitude I think that God looks for. It's the attitude of it that you love to see in your children. Parents, you train these children and you say, I want that responsive and teachable spirit on the part of my children because I have so much to give them and so much that will bless their lives. So that's the second attitude, a submissive, teachable spirit. The third one would be an attitude of appreciation and respect for God. To appreciate what God is doing and to respect Him for it. That is, the believer knows that God is God. And he doesn't try to override God's authority or try to make himself out to be some little God. Rather, he sees the hand of God in everything that takes place. It's not just now come to the end of the year and I'm going to look back and I'm going to say what I accomplished or maybe I'm going to complain about the way things were in my life or whatever. But rather, it's looking back and saying, now, how did God direct me this year, that last year? Was I submissive to Him? Was I teachable in that place of respecting His will and so on? And are there things there, tests that I went through that He was teaching me and have I learned from those experiences and so on? Well, this is just simply an attitude that keeping God in your mind and in the picture all of the time. I see this attitude expressed several places. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Well, he's looking back and he says, I can see there that God has been loving and God has been merciful. Verse 7. For you are good, O Lord. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Verse 10, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. In these statements, you find a profound awareness of God in the mind of this writer, this psalmist. There's a sense of reverence there. There's no sense that God has been unfaithful to me or God has hurt me in some way, but rather an appreciation for God and a reverence for him. In verse 11, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. He's not just thinking only about himself. He wants the glory to go to God for all of this. And if we really keep our thoughts on God in that way, we will bring him glory. The glory will shift back to him. So an appreciation. And I guess we see this, if you've done a service for somebody, they don't have to pay you or anything maybe, but if they just say, thank you for helping me in that project, that appreciation is enough. And I'm sure God feels the same. As he ministers to us, we really need to appreciate what he does and respect him for who he is. And then the fourth attitude would be what I'll call attentiveness and expectancy. Attentiveness and expectancy. And I see this in verse 15 especially. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. I think if we could practice one posture for the new year, that would be a good one to work on. My eyes are ever on the Lord. That is, to live with a God consciousness. And I'm coming more and more to believe this as I get older, that this is what we really want people to have, a God consciousness, so that they're aware of God's relation to them in every event. The Table Talk uses the phrase Coram Deo, in the face of God, living in the face of God. And that's the idea that's here. That is, keeping your eyes ever on the Lord. If we did that, we would be looking to him to satisfy the needs of our life. We would be looking to him to express our appreciation and praise. All of that, it's all through the Scripture. Whatever you do, it says in Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. There it is. You see, I do my work, but am I God conscious? Do I really have this understanding that God is a part of everything that I do? Whether it's work, whether it's recreation, whatever it is, we want him to be a part. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll always be there. But we need to work on the God consciousness, this awareness, and attentiveness to him. Let me read another poem. I don't know why I'm tied up with poems today, but here's one from Annie Johnson Flint, which talks about this posture, and I want you to get that. I don't look back, she says. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees all the future. The road that's short or long will lead me home. He will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest. My fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. So she's looking up. She has her eyes on the Lord. And that's what the psalmist suggests here. keeping your eyes up on Him. And when you do that, He will give you hope. That is, you won't get depressed. You won't get downtrodden. Verse 5 says it. For you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. He's got his eyes up on the Lord. He's God conscious now. He's submissive to Him. And so God gives him hope. Look at verse 21. May integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. So that heart attitude will give us this blessing of hope. Hope is an incredible blessing. You find someone who's hopeless, and it's a really, really sad thing. But if we have hope, it's really a positive thing. So here are four attitudes that I've mentioned. An attitude of trust and confidence, an attitude of submission and teachableness, an attitude of appreciation and respect, an attitude of attentiveness and expectancy. If we can work on these, there's a challenge for you. Work on these as you begin your new year and try to be God conscious all of the time. Well, let me just add to this now the promises for the new year, and I'll just do this in three brief statements that we can draw from the psalm. The first statement would be that God will never let you down. It's kind of saying it in a colloquial form. Verse 3, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Now, I think we're saying that in the ultimate sense. I'm not saying that there won't be some experiences along the way that would be causing some shame. I don't think Christians are free from some reverses and other kinds of problems. Certainly we're not. But the claim here is that every wrong will ultimately be righted. Every disappointment will be explained. Every promise of God will be fulfilled. That kind of hope is what really carries us through whatever experiences are out there and that we may face. And this is what his promise is to us here, that the people who put their hope in him will not be ashamed because that hope will be ultimately satisfied. Second statement would be, God will give you the guidance you need for this new year. God will give you that guidance. That's one of the promises that we can draw from this psalm. I think when we come to God and we say to him, show me your ways, that's our prayer, then we can be confident that he will do that. He will answer that prayer. And we have the promise in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. There's the promise. It's a promise that he will guide your steps as you look to him, as you keep your eyes focused on him. Verse 12, who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So the promises are repeated again and again in this psalm. The Bible says, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The scripture will give that kind of guidance. I think we still have to make the hard decisions. We have to decide what we really want or what God would have us do in certain situations. But we have the confidence of his promise. And then the last promise is this. God will prosper you and deliver you from the traps and snares of the evil one. That's a promise that comes out of this psalm that although there are some traps and snares that will be faced along the way, God says he will deliver us from that. When we have this attitude, and he even promises in 13, he will spend his days in prosperity and his descendants will inherit the land. So there's, and a Christian that's walking with God, I think, experiences this inwardly and over his whole life, that there is a sense of prosperity and real blessing there. Satan will try to trap you, But Jesus is the one who will deliver you from those traps and snares. Verse 15 says it again, the Lord will release my feet from the snare. So whatever Satan tries to do, Christ is stronger and he will overcome. So here's some interesting challenges for the new year, and here's some great promises that God gives you. And I just challenge you to keep your eyes on the Lord. Be submissive to him. Follow his way, and you will have a happy new year. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, we come to you as the one who has given us life and breath and all things. And we do recognize that we need to keep our eyes on you. You are sovereign over the affairs of our life. We don't know what a day will bring forth, but you do. And we walk with you, with our hand in your hand. And we thank you that you give us these promises, wonderful promises that give us hope and that give us assurance of your love. So bless each of us in the days ahead. Help us to walk with you always. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we want to turn to the second part of this psalm now, 25, selection B in our Psalter. And as we sing this, it'll simply be a reminder of these promises that God has given. 25, selection B. The promises are well stated here for us again. The Lord is good and just. The way he'll sinners show, he guides the meek. What is just, that they may his path will know. To those who keep his word, his covenant obey, the loving kindness of the Lord and truth will be their way. So let's sing together. Psalm 25b, please stand as we sing praise.